what your name is.
Thursday night, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Weekly Wrestling Heat Podcast. My name is Elias, and this is Matt and Moise joining me for tonight's episode. What's going on, people?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here and to talk to you guys about wrestling, because last week I wasn't here. And obviously, we're not going to talk about last week's show, but like, I would have had a lot of things to say about that women's no-hold-bar.
We're going to talk about last week's show. I'm going to give you like a three-minute. You're going to have a three-minute warning. So you have 3 minutes. Discuss.
I have way too much to say that I don't want to hold up the show. It's funny. Elias got to hear like almost all my thoughts because we were chit-chatting the night before and like or 2 nights before that or something like that. And I just like went off on this tirade. We're in whereby all of us hookah smokers like hang out and stuff like that. And I just go off on my thoughts on the that week's AEW, and everyone's just quiet like the entire time that I'm ranting for probably a good 2 to 3, 4 minutes. And then everyone just stayed quiet.
I want people to know your thoughts on a women's match.
I thought it was very good. I thought it was a good match. And my biggest problem with it, so I'm not like a death match kind of guy. Like, I don't like death matches in general. I appreciate them. I understand their purpose and their value in the industry and stuff. But like, they're not my favorite kind of matchup. They're not my favorite kind of thing to watch. And it was more difficult for me to watch these women do this match as well. For whatever reason, I just thought like, man, this is a crazy match. This is a crazy death match style match that felt very intense. It felt very extreme. And other than a few very, I wouldn't call them botches, but definitely sloppy maneuvers that happened throughout it, like the ending, right? The ending was not a botched move, but it looked really sloppy and very dangerous.
You could see Thunder Rosa really wanted to protect her. Like, she didn't want anything to go wrong.
Yeah, she definitely was protecting her, but like the move itself just looked weird when they landed, and then she like ragdolled her body off of her so she could like try to get a pin. Like, it just looked funky, but that's not a negative, right? Like, that's just me noticing something. The match itself was not bad. Like, I you cannot watch that match and say that was a bad match. I thought Britt Baker should have gone over, and we talked about this in length after talking to JD Sloan about this a little bit on one of our chats that we have. After talking to him, and he was like kind of bringing up some different things, I was like, maybe they did make the right choice. Maybe Thunder Rosa really is the person that should turn into the face of the AEW promotion and stuff. But then that promo that Britt cut this week, I thought was a stellar promo. I feel bad that she slipped on a couple words, but you know, she probably still had like blood underneath her feet, so she was a little slippery. But you know, because it wasn't botches in the promo, but it definitely was not solid. It wasn't like perfectly said and stuff. I don't know. I'm a little torn, I guess, in the AEW's women division, because they don't book well. They do have some good talent, but like, I don't like Jade at all. Like, I think Jade is very green. Last week when she wrestled the girl from Russia that's like an MMA style brawler type. What's her name? I can't think of her name. Anyone?
Lila Sugar, Lila something.
Something like that. Anyway, she threw her, and I swear to God, I thought her neck just instantly snapped, because she released her. Like, it wasn't like she was so powerful. She threw her, and like things, like she didn't do the move proper. Like, and it was dangerous, and it didn't look good. And I don't know. I don't like Jade. I need to see more Red Velvet. I don't really care for Hikito. You know, like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the AEW women's division. But as for the no holds bar match between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, that was a death match classic. That's what I would call it. But that doesn't mean I liked the match.
Personal taste, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was one of the few who also liked Thunder Rosa going over. But Elias will vouch. I've been Britt Baker since day one. Elias knows this. I just think, like, I think with Britt Baker, I really feel she'd be really good running after a title, doing anything to get the title. I feel like that would be a stronger pull than her having the title.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that I don't know. I have mixed feelings, because like Britt looks like money, right?
It's one of those things where you don't know exactly where she can go to, because of the fact that she's never held a title. And we don't know what it is like to see her on that main event stage. She's gotten way better. She was one of the first signings for AEW, so I think it kind of like she kind of flew under the radar with her injuries and stuff like that, which kind of took away from her momentum. But I do expect to see bigger things from her. I hope that they put the title on her eventually and see how she can handle being the top dog in the company. Because right now, the way she's looking, the way she's talking, she's ready for that specific stage. But, you know, as we all know, once you hit that stage, it's up to that performer to continue to stay on that stage.
Yeah.
So, do we want to do a quick recap on Fastlane? Any high points, low points that y'all want to talk about?
I don't think so. It was a very good pay-per-view. It was a very WWE pay-per-view. It was a very good, before WrestleMania pay-per-view, right? Like very good.
I think that's an oxymoron. We don't need before WrestleMania pay-per-views.
I agree. I think that Elimination Chamber should always be the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania.
Yeah, because this one, even though it was short and sweet, it did kind of close up some loopholes in the WrestleMania card. But nonetheless, I'm excited to see exactly with what's next on WrestleMania next weekend. So let's get into it. Do we want to get into AEW first, or do we want to get into
should we talk about Andrade being released and the two injuries really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Andrade actually was granted his release earlier this week. Me and Elias talked about where we would want to see him. Matt, where would you want to see Andrade if you would want to see Andrade somewhere?
I didn't pay enough attention to Andrade in NXT, so if he showed up in AEW with non-Andrade or something like that kind of thing happening, I would have no issue with it, and I'd be interested to see exactly what he is.
He's got the copyright of the name. Smart guy.
It's his first name, if I'm not mistaken.
People have lost their first names in professional wrestling.
It's his last name, that's Andrade, true. Right? Manny Andrade? Okay, whatever. But yeah, and then unfortunate news, John Silver got separated his shoulder, and Danny Burch separated his shoulder last week, which I want to talk about the John Silver injury because I read a post on Twitter, and I really agreed with that. I think you guys would too. These wrestlers need to stop giving 150% matches, 150% in all their matches when they're organically over. Like, I don't think John Silver had to do that spot where he got hurt.
Which spot was it that injured him?
Where he jumped over the rail and fell basically on his shoulder onto the concrete outside, past the guardrail.
So I didn't get to watch the show on Wednesday because Elias forced me to do other stuff. And I didn't get to watch this show as intently as I normally do. I had to watch it while I was working, so just on my computer screen, just as I was working. So I think I missed it, and I'm trying to find. I'm going to look for a clip of it because I must have missed it. But I agree with what you're saying, or what that post said about. And I thought that while I was watching the Darby Allin John Silver match, I was like, this match, because I think it was like 25 minutes. This match was a long match. It was a great match. Right. Both guys did a great job. It was a wonderful match with a kind of a predictable outcome, which I think is a little that's the other part. Right. If you're going to go predictable, which I think having Darby win is predictable, John Silver winning, then it shows that the 150% means something. Right. But where you're just going to have Darby Allin go over anyways, why the 150? Because you kind of undersold yourself on a potential rematch or pay-per-view match. This is something that me and Moyes has also talked about when it came to like the super kick on Ricochet against Adam Cole that one time. It's like, what are you? You're not saving anything. Like, this is their first meetup. Are they never going to wrestle again? Ever?
It's like the same thing we said about when Sting was getting ready to fight Team Taz.
So you got to wait for him to finish his thought so I can hear it, and then we can hear you. Because I didn't hear you at all.
No, I said it's the same thing that we said when we were talking about Team Taz versus Sting and Darby. They gave away too much before the match happened. So it's like one of those things where, you could tease. Like, think about it like this. The way that Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly are setting up their feud right now, they really haven't shown, like, any kind of wrestling moves. It's just been straight brawling. That kind of stuff, it makes you more interested. The storyline that they have, like just for yesterday, freaking Adam Cole struck William Regal, like, you know, and knocked him down. So stuff like that builds to the story. It was recorded after.
Obviously, it was recorded. Obviously, I actually disagree with you, Moyes, about they should have showed it on TV. I disagree with you 100%. That was the perfect type of thing that you show after the show, especially in the world. Because like before, you can't do that, right? But like we live in such a connected world. This is the time when you can do that because you can get a pop of sensation on the internet without needing to show it on the show, but you show it afterwards and you get more people talking about the thing that just happened. So you keep the thought alive longer. So I totally think that was the kind of thing not to show on the show, but to show after like they did.
So Andrade's real name is Manuel Alfonso Andrade. So it is part of his legal name. So they didn't let him keep Cien Almas. They let him just keep Andrade. So he might either be going as Andrade El Idolo, or he might be going as La Sombra, which is his mass wrestler gimmick persona. As well.
I want to talk about NXT. Oh, sorry.
All right. Let's get into it.
I want to crap
on both shows if I can.
What'd you say?
I want to crap on both shows if I can. Technically,
I wouldn't. I don't want to crap on either show. It's interesting because NXT. I actually want to apologize. Is what I want to do. So I'll go first. Then we'll hear what you have to say. I want to apologize to NXT, and I want to apologize to Adam Cole and Alex Riley. And Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly. he looks like an Alex. I want to apologize to Karrion Kross. I want to apologize to Walter. I want to apologize to NXT because not him yet. That's not me being rude. That's just a matter of fact, of life. One of those two. Okay. I watched Adam Cole go into that dojo and attack Kyle Riley. And I thought to myself, I am a bad wrestling fan because this storyline between the Undisputed Era breaking up the way that they are is honestly probably the single best wrestling storyline happening right now. It probably is. And I am not invested in it. And it's my own fault for not watching NXT diligently and caring about the product. They're doing a great job with the wrestlers, the story, the timing, all of it. And I did not give them the time that this story deserves. I should have treated this story the same way I treated Sting, Darby, and Team Taz. I should have treated it with the same amount of care, but I cared way more about Team Taz. And that was a 5 out of 10 storyline. It was very cookie cutter and basic and nothing happened, right? But this Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, this is a legitimate storyline. Like this is a turning table of one main eventer, I think, passing a torch on to the next in line as Adam Cole goes to the main roster and Kyle O'Reilly is going to become a big star on NXT. You know, I feel bad. I want to apologize because I thought the show for NXT was very boring for the most part. I skipped through a lot of it. I didn't watch all of it. I was very in and out the same way that I watched AEW this week, where I was very in and out of it because I was working and stuff. I did that even more on NXT. But I want to apologize to NXT and what they're putting on, because what they're putting on is very good. But this week, I don't know if you guys noticed this. This week, NXT had kind of a switch around with AEW in the way that they did their promos. AEW did a lot more basic regular promos that I enjoyed, while NXT used a lot of matches to get into promos. And I thought that was very interesting that there's a little bit of a turnaround this week, because AEW did a much better job of saying like, okay, it's promo time. And they did a promo and they're like, oh, it's match time. They did a match. While NXT, they were like, hey, we don't know if we need a promo or a match here, so we're going to do kind of both. Anyways, that's my thoughts on NXT. We can talk more AEW in a minute, but I want to hear Moises and Elias, your thoughts on NXT. I guess we're going to do NXT first is what it sounds like. So what do you guys want to talk about? It looks like Moises is gone.
I enjoyed both. It was, I'll agree, it wasn't the best episode of it, but as far as concluding the storylines and concluding the putting loopholes to closing those loopholes to the matches that are coming up at TakeOver Stand Deliver, I think they did a good job. Like the announcement of the triple threat between MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, and Legado Fantasma for the vacant NXT titles, that was that kind of got me excited because those are three of the best teams in NXT right now. The gauntlet match that they're going to have for the number one contender for Johnny Gargano's North American title night one, that one is going to be pretty good too.
That sounded kind of confusing, didn't it? The way that William Regal explained it.
You know what? I thought the same thing, but once the wrestling news media guys cleared it up, it seems interesting because it's basically kind of like a Royal Rumble, but it doesn't, you know, a regular gauntlet match, it's one against one. One person loses, the next person comes in. So now it's a Royal Rumble style match every 30 or 60 seconds, whatever it is, or 90 seconds. I forgot exactly what the match rules are. Another wrestler comes in, and the only way you get to eliminate it is if you go through pinfall or submission. So it makes it more interesting.
Did not make it less confusing. I agree. It sounds interesting. I totally agree. It sounds interesting. But it's one of those things where once the match starts, I think I'm going to get it like really quickly. If you explain the Royal Rumble, it sounds confusing. If you explain the Elimination Chamber, that will sound confusing as shit if you try to explain it. But like the moment it starts and you watch, you're like, oh, I totally understand this. And I think
you know what
I feel like too.
You know what? It's the Elimination Chamber without the chamber. Basically,
that's kind of what I thought, but I'm gonna wait until I see it to know.
Yeah, yeah. So and then of course the freaking the unification match between Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar, Shawn Michaels bringing out the ladder and just putting it between them. That was a moment that I enjoyed because Shawn Michaels was one of the first people to ever do a ladder match in WWE. So it kind of had a significant moment there in a sense.
So. Yeah. I mean, you can't pop for that, Elias. You're not allowed to pop for that because anytime Sting comes out and does something, you're like, oh, Sting, I just wish he would just go away. This Sting guy.
I mean, when you have him there every week and
you were like that the first week. You were like that the first week Sting showed up. Don't even.
Yeah, because he got in. You know, you really worry about these older gentlemen that got ended because of a neck injury.
I love to think of you as Sting's dad. I really do. Or like his like brother or like cousin. Like you are his cousin and you're just like, man, I really hope nothing happened to Sting. But you get all excited. You're like, oh, I was scared when I saw Shawn Michaels carry that ladder. I was like, man, I hope he doesn't like, you know, hurt his back. Like poor Shawn Michaels. We can't hear you, Moyes.
We can't hear you, Moyes.
We can't hear you. We want to this time. If you don't talk, right. I want to talk. What do you? Come on, say something.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Elias cares more about Sting than Tony Schiavone does, and it's hilarious. I love it.
Sting! His voice is so bad, he really needs to actually not do that anymore because he's lost part of his like vocal sounds, so like he can't really do that sound anymore. Like it used to sound great, but like now it literally sounds like a dying cat saying Sting. Like it sounds like Sting. Like it's not good. Like he needs to stop saying that, honestly.
So I'm gonna talk about what irritated me with both shows, and
okay,
I think both shows were, every match was very predictable except for a women's tag match on NXT, I think.
Yeah, because
not the tag title match, but the first tag match, the Joey Stark and Io versus Dakota and Raquel.
What a weird team, right?
Well, if you watched last week, Io came and saved her, and then the week before that, she earned Io's respect, so it makes sense.
No, it's a weird team.
Okay, but yeah, no, I think every match would fit. Actually, the LA Knight match wasn't predictable. That just, I don't know what the hell that was, but yeah.
Does LA Knight, okay, so I want, because you guys are fans of this LA Knight character, you like Eli Drake, and stuff. And I thought this match was the match was fine. It helped it in a way to see LA Knight lose. This is going to be weird because you can't really, it's hard to get over with losses because it just is in general, because people like winners for obvious reasons. But like, I almost feel like this gives him an edge to lose a match like this in the first. But like, I don't know if I like him losing to a rookie, because aren't they selling LA Knight like he knows what he's doing, right?
Well, they're also, Bronson Reed has been being pushed, for the past couple of months as well as a powerhouse.
As the North American title chase too. They yeah. kind of teased that a couple of times, yeah.
But is he in the gauntlet match?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Well, no, LA Knight is, but is the other dude?
Yes.
Yeah, Bronson Reed is too.
Okay, that's how he gets his win back. Okay.
Yeah, so
I think
one of those things that I was thinking about is kind of like, you know how we talked about Christian Cage on, like, to have him lose a couple of matches and then all of a sudden start winning and go on that winning streak. I think they're trying to do the same thing with LA Knight.
I don't think that's going to happen with Christian Cage going against Kazarian for his first match.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that one.
I think that's going to be a hell of a match, though. Like, they know each other.
No, the match is good. The match is going to be, they paired him up with the right person, but at the same time, you're like, do you really want to see Frankie Kazarian take a loss? Like, because
it doesn't matter. Kazarian doesn't need wins or losses right now.
Unless he's in the tag team, because if they lose in the tag team match, they're disbanded.
But the match of him losing on a singles, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Like, literally, I said that I thought it was weird that they had Matt Jackson lose against Rey Fénix. You guys are like, no, it makes perfect sense because, you see, he's a tag team wrestler and the other guy has already proven himself as a singles wrestler. So, like, it is literally the exact same thing here, the way that I see it.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that.
So, you agree? Can I
record
that? I want to record that.
I like this formula we're using today, where instead of just running down the show, we're just talking about random stuff. I like this more.
I did.
What did you guys think about Walter versus Drake Maverick, and then with Tommaso Ciampa just going in there and challenging him?
I feel bad for Walter. Did you guys feel a little bad for Walter?
Walter or Drake Maverick?
Drake Maverick.
No, I'm talking about Walter. Watch Walter's mannerisms in the ring. Like, for a guy that is so dominating, why did he look so skittish? And why did he look so, like, he does not understand the performing side of wrestling yet. You look at me like I'm crazy right now. Rewatch it and watch him. Like, he doesn't know what to do with his body in the ring while Ciampa's being detained by his two lackeys. Like, he looks lost. He looks confused. It made me feel bad for Walter, because while I think Walter's a dominating force and I like his style and all the things that he's doing, I thought it made him look not weak, but I thought it made him look nerd, like geeky, like skittish. Watch it, rewatch it, and you'll see what I mean.
I do get what you're saying. I thought you were talking about the match. I'm like, he won in 45 seconds. Yeah.
The match was nothing. I think I blinked, coughed, and farted, and the match was over. So I don't know.
I wish they gave us some background on Tommaso's necklace and why it means so much.
Oh, I thought they did.
I think that's going to be next week.
Hey, your Bam Bam Malone?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just tweeted.
He tweeted,
yeah. What a nice guy.
Oh, I'm going to tell him, join in the chat with us, buddy. Will he get mad if I call him buddy? I need to look this guy up.
He's really cool. He's feuding with a local talent that Elias really likes a lot, named Moonshine Mantel. Yeah.
If you're in the chat with us, Bam Bam, reach out to one of us on our Twitter DMs. They're all right there with our usernames, and we'd love to have you on the show to chit chat, talk about professional wrestling and how you got the name. I want to know how you got the name Bam Bam Malone, because when I think Bam Bam, obviously I only think of one person, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Ligolo. You guys not familiar with Ligolo? No?
No? Okay. I'm okay. Bigelow, but
yeah, that's the other one. Everyone knows him, obviously. Okay.
So
what are we talking about?
Ciampa. So
necklace. Ciampa. Do you know everything about NXT?
I'm kind of thrown on a loop on that one, because I didn't know exactly where they were coming from with the necklace, unless it has something to do with his family or something like that. But
has to, right?
I it, And I enjoyed the segment. And it, what it, for what it was, to make it quick to challenge for the UK title. And I think we're going to see a pretty decent match.
Are we okay with like the UK championship just becoming a secondary championship on NXT? Like, what's the point of NXT UK if we have...
I think they're building to the UK. They're building to UK takeover too, which is next month.
Yeah,
but why?
Yeah,
but I don't. Okay, it's just I get that. Like, but why call it NXT UK title? Because it's their biggest title, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're trying to do kind of like that promotion where they bring the UK champion over to kind of do like have a match to build the hype around it, and so, you know, and go back.
So Walter wins for sure.
Yeah,
I don't see him losing.
Right.
But I want to, since we're talking about UK talent, this gauntlet thing really pissed me off because you're building Pete Dunne, teasing that he's gonna face one of the best technical wrestlers ever, and now you throw him in this gauntlet. I wasn't a fan of that.
Could be long-term booking, because he could go back to the UK as well. So,
well, he said at TakeOver, I'm going to face the most technical wrestler.
Huh. Who's that? Because Daniel Bryan is wrestling on...
Could it be Gargano if he actually wins that?
Gargano, I mean, and Dunn, last time they had a match, it was phenomenal. So I would love to see that again.
Daniel Bryan is wrestling on SmackDown. Yeah, most talented technical wrestler.
Well, I can see Austin Theory winning this gauntlet and then just culminating the Austin Theory Johnny Gargano
thing. The way Brock breaks down just like that.
I need to look at all the wrestlers in this gauntlet a little stronger. I'm legitimately sorry, NXT, that I'm not giving you the time that you deserve, because I don't have as much to say about NXT stuff, and most of my things are not educated takes, honestly, about NXT. I really don't, because I watch it in such a passing manner that I want to have a stronger opinion on Tommaso Ciampa challenging Walter, and it's not out of the blue, obviously. Like, they've had him feuding with Yathorium or whatever the hell their thing's called for a while with Thatcher and everything. Like, I get like the reasoning behind it, but at the same time, it still feels in a way why, like, because I'm so sure that Walter keeps that because he's not a UK, Ciampa's not UK, makes little sense to lose the UK title to a non-UK person, obviously. So, like, what's the point of this match? Why can't you have UK talent? Have they built nobody up to challenge Walter like a serious contender?
No, they already built... They announced Walter's TakeOver match in UK, too.
They already announced the Walter TakeOver match?
Yeah. Elias probably knows more, but I don't want to mess up the guy's name. I think it's, like, Greyhound or Bloodhound or something. Elias...
So
I'm pulling it up.
So he's definitely not losing against Ciampa.
Yeah, no, he's not.
See, like, what's the point? Like, annoyed at AEW for being predictable with their matches and their writing, but like, this is just as bad.
Well, Matt, I think I figured it out. What if you have Walter and Ciampa, then you have the three Imperium guys run in, then you have Thatcher come out, Drake, Maverick, and Killian Dane come out because you're building that story and just have turn it into a 4-on-4.
Sure. Long-term storytelling be damned if that's the case. But, like, still, I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's the only way I can see him saving himself from this, because Ciampa and Walter are very predictable.
That's what I thought.
It could also be because we forget to mention the Dimitri Thatcher involvement in this whole Imperium storyline. So there could be something that is in the works that might pay off there. But I don't know. I'm really interested to see where this is going to go.
You know what I'm excited about? The tag team title match that they announced for TakeOver.
Which one?
The triple threat?
The triple threat?
Yeah.
Dude, I hate triple threat tag teams.
MSK and Legato, dude, and Grizzled Young Vets, those are all three different styles. And I think that can steal the show.
It might be, but it's triple threat rules, right? First pinfall wins.
Yeah, first pinfall.
Dumb. If you're gonna do a tag team match, you gotta do triple threat elimination rules. You can't do first fall loses. You need to go from triple threat into a standard tag team into the winner. That I do not like triple threat or four corner matches when they are first pinfall loses. I don't like that.
I like it because the partner, like, you can get tagged by anyone. So I think that's a cool aspect of it, you know?
Like, what is up, Angel? Thank you so much for joining us. It looks like you are a new live viewer. That is exciting that you are viewing us live, because we are also alive while we're sitting here. So you view us live and we sit here live. What? You don't like that? Not. What? He's not live?
He's not.
Hey, I wanna break some news to you guys really quick, though. Kane and the Great Khali are going into the Hall of Fame. How do we feel about that?
I mean, I'm cool with Kane. Right.
I'm cool with it.
I mean, I guess I'm cool with Khali too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he's done things in the industry. Like, he's like, let's list all of Great Khali's great accomplishments. Okay, he's tall. He's really tall. You know, he's a really tall person, and he has a really dumb gimmick match. So those are all you need to get into the Hall of Fame. You're golden.
I think so. Matt, have you seen the numbers from their India show that they did?
Oh yeah, no. I know why. I understand everything about the Great Khali. I understand everything. I get it. I got it. That's why the WWE Hall of Fame is just as much a work as anything else. Learned
Drew Carey's in it. Yes.
Well, yeah, Drew Carey.
So the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, is that BS too?
The wrestling, I think it's a little different. If you don't think that's a little different,
you have Dave Meltzer crapping on the WWE Hall of Fame, saying that is just to slang your thing and sell merchandise.
It is.
What is his do?
What are you talking about? It's okay. If we were to put together a list of our favorite wrestlers and put them into the Wrestling Weekly Heat Hall of Fame, what would that be? That would be a list that we put together and decide that we think these wrestlers deserve to be in a Hall of Fame. The WWE Hall of Fame is a work for the company that they are putting people in to a Hall of Fame. The Wrestling Observer magazine, which is a journalistic venture, is completely different than the WWE Hall of Fame.
I'm kind of a Matt here, even though I hate Meltzer.
I don't like Meltzer either, but that's reality. Like, that's like getting mad. Like, NFL.com Hall of Fame is different than the Tennessee Titans Hall of Fame. Like, those are
I think people take it as the WWE Hall of Fame is just a selling prop, which, you know, for the most part, it is in a sense. But at the same time, they're recognizing their people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So
so is writing somebody as champion, though, Elias. Like when they decided that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to be the guy that was going to carry the company on his back and put the title on him, they're also giving him accolades, right? That's the same thing. Yeah. The Hall of Fame is the last step of accolades for an individual working in this company.
Yeah.
And that's all.
I like it, but I'm not too big on Hall of Fames. You know, there's only one Hall of Fame that I listen to in the wrestling industry, and it's not Dave Meltzer nor
WWE. What is
it?
I want to hear what it is.
It's the Cauliflower Club.
The Cauliflower Club. I don't know the Cauliflower Club. Are you just talking about whoever has the most messed up ears is the people you respect the most? Is that what you're saying right now? I knew that WWE Hall of Fame was a work. Like, when I first started to think about it as a work and stuff, was honestly when Jeff Jarrett got introduced to it. Like, it proves so much that, like, Vince is willing to do anything for anything that he believes will give a pop and give a little bit of money in some way. Like, Vince McMahon Like, it makes me very curious about Chris Benoit. And we talked about this years ago when we, or not years ago, but when we were first doing like the podcast a little bit and stuff, and we watched the Vice show about Chris Benoit. But it makes me curious about, like, at what point does WWE allow Chris Benoit in some capacity, right? Because they talk to his son. He's been a part of like different meetings and stuff like that. Every once in a while you hear about how his son isn't backstage, and I don't know if he has any actual aspirations for wrestling, but I'm just saying in general, like the hatchet can be buried for like any price.
The way that situation went down,
I think CM Punk is who we should replace.
CM Punk has a better chance of making the WWE Hall of Fame than Chris Benoit. And the reason why I say that is because of how the situation with Chris Benoit went down.
No, I agree. I agree 100%.
So it's like if you watch the Dark Side of the Ring, the Chris Benoit special, you basically get a firsthand account of everything that happened. And, you know, we won't see a Benoit on WWE television. And that's because they don't hate them, but they don't like them, because
Benoit's towards WWE.
Yeah, but they're more AEW now. I would see,
wasn't the son at AEW taping or something as well?
Yeah, he was at one of the pay per views that they had. So
do they call him Benoit?
I think they will. I think they'll respect him enough to the. Outside of WWE's bubble,
I don't know, man. I'm so
outside of WWE's bubble, people do believe that Chris Benoit deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. If not Benoit, not Chris, his wife at least, because his wife was one of the first female managers that actually.
We got to get out of this subject. We got to get out of this subject now. We got to. We got to pull. We got to pull this plug. We got to pull this plug.
Yeah. Let's talk about AEW a little bit.
Okay, AEW. Let's talk about how I enjoyed the show on a general, like, okay, so things that I liked. I thought that
what
like
wasn't predictable for you. What wasn't predictable for you? I wanted to know.
What wasn't predictable? This year
it was a whole bunch of squash matches.
They're all disguised. That's the worst part, right? All these squash matches are disguised like legitimate matches. Like Matt Sydal not going fucking over. Like John Silver
When Brandon Cutler was announced at the Young Bucks partner, you knew it's over.
What the hell, Brandon Cutler? That's who we get excited for. Promos. The promos were the highlight of this week's episode of AEW. The matches
The matches were decent. It's just, the promos were the thing that made the show.
Yes, even Scorpio Sky's vignette promo was very good. I thought it sold him as being like, "I'm ready for my shot. I'm going to take it no matter what." Lance Archer had a very good vignette where he's just like, "You know why I took your time? Because I'm sick of standing around watching you think that you still belong in this spot that I rightfully deserve to be in." Like that was great. I enjoyed
the MJF stuff.
The Pinnacle. It was also a very good intro. Derry, that was a good match. That was my match of the show, which I know is like a little controversial because it obviously wasn't like the best match, but it was the match that I was most interested in watching for the entire evening.
You know what? What's interesting to me in a sense is that I'm still trying to figure out this whole Young Bucks and Kenny Omega thing, and it's not a bad thing because I'm intrigued on this storyline. Like I remember when the Young Bucks walked away from Omega and the Good Brothers when they were doing the Too Sweet, they walked away. And for Kenny Omega to bring up a point that saying he's like, when I signed and two years ago, I did not sign to be in AEW. I didn't go to New York, which WWE. I signed because I wanted to be with my people I thought was my family. You know, it made it kind of personal between them. And it was kind of one of those things where like, yeah, you're right. He didn't sign just to be in AEW. He signed to be part of the Elite, to be part of the group. And, because of the Elite. So he was like, when I needed somebody, I picked y'all, and y'all choose Brandon Cutler. So it's kind of like, come on, like, you could have had a good match better than you had Cutler, and you chose Cutler.
Cutler looks so out of place there.
To what Angel said about Laredo Kid taking the pin, he's going to take it next week in the six man against the good Redditon Kenny. But no, that's one thing I want to touch on. We're just jumping all over the place, so I like this.
Well, let me comment on Elias's thoughts on the Kenny and Young Bucks stuff real quick, because that's what he just said. So I'm really hoping. Okay. And I said this the week before I left, that I was kind of getting tired of the Don Callis stuff, and I wanted to see something happen from it. Right. And the week before that was decent. I thought, okay, with the way that they treated, I didn't hate, let's see, what was last week's Don Callis thing? That was that the barbed wire?
The kick, the super kick thing, the leg slapping shirt thing.
Where he told the Young Bucks, he's like, yeah, I lied about y'all kicking me.
Yeah,
in the
I
face.
Lied about y'all kicking me in the face. But yeah, and then they, yeah, okay. So, but this week I thought was way better. And the reason why it was way better, and you know what they're doing a decent job of, is they're making Kenny look like a bitch as a heel and as like the coward heel, but they're beating him up, right? Like this week, as soon as his people left him, he instantly got knocked to the ground, right? And got knocked silly and stuff like that. That's a good way to keep that heat against him. Because it's like when he doesn't have people around him, he doesn't perform as well as he should. And I think they're doing a good job of that kind of stuff. And I like I want to believe that the story that they're telling with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and the Elite and all this other stuff is that they're legitimately going to like make this last a very long time. And there's going to be a lot to it. And there's going to be a lot of swerves and changes, but like, and eventually we'll get a conclusion. But I don't want this story. I don't want to see the end of this story next week. You know what I mean? I don't want to see the end of this story next pay-per-view. I'm cool with letting this play out the same way that we're seeing NXT with Undisputed Era, right? Like, I care about this story the way that I should care about Undisputed Era. That's what I want.
Yeah, and that's a good thing though, because it's saying that they're getting better at their long-term storytelling, which is something that I had a lot of gripe about when they first started. So now that I'm seeing all these changes, I'm like, okay, I see where they're trying to head with this, and I'm actually liking it. So no, it's going to lead to this Impact Rebellion match between Rich Swann and Kenny Omega, and then the storyline will build for there too, because if he actually wins both titles, it's going to be, he's going
to
get a
little... Do I need to watch Impact?
No, that's what I'm trying to touch. Can I touch on this really quick?
Your turn, Moyes. I call on Moyes.
Okay, thank you. So I think the Good Brothers are going to leave his side, and that's because I watched Impact this week. No one likes him in the locker room. They came out late to make the save, so I think the Good Brothers are going to leave his side. And
is that why they came out late this week to make the save, do you think?
That's what I'm thinking. Because I did watch Impact this week, and the whole story was centered around the Good Brothers aren't welcome in the locker room because they're more AEW than they are Impact. Yeah. And so Don Callis keeps teasing, you're the God, you're the God, you're the God. Like, he keeps teasing that on Impact. So I think where this is going is the Good Brothers leave him, and we're going to get that Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega match with Kenny having the Impact title as well. And I don't know how it's gonna finish, but I think that you don't keep calling the dude a god for no reason, Matt. Like, Golden God. Like,
but I kind of think you're digging a little bit. I get where you're coming from. Well, I totally get where you're coming from.
I kind of agree with Moyes, because they're running this, he's kind of running this Thanos kind of gimmick in a sense, where he's going around. He already has a AAA title. He has the AEW title. Yeah, he does every once in a while. When right now with the thing, COVID, the way things are with COVID and stuff like that.
Because he had just defended it like when he first won it. He had done okay
against Laredo a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
So they're doing that, and then now they're gonna because I know me and Justin talked about this. You know, AEW and Impact booked themselves into a corner with this, because if they really are talking about separate of ending this working relationship, you know, it's only benefiting Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. It's not benefiting Impact as a whole, because we haven't seen any other Impact talent on AEW.
Impact last Tuesday had 116,000 viewers with Kenny Omega announced. 116,000 when their average in the last 6 months, their average has been in the 160 to 180 range. And they had 115 with Kenny being announced.
I'll be right back.
So I agree with Angel that there's more people talking about Impact. So it's, but Impact has already had that specific that people talking about him, because they got the Good Brothers, they had Cardona, they had Rhino, they have Sam Callahan, they have Diana, and then they ended up having that deal with New Japan where Finjuice came. So it's like you have Impact making noise on their end without needing Kenny Omega. So it's just like for them is that little cherry on top to have Kenny Omega come on there and be that monster heel.
While Matt's gone, because I know me and you watch Impact really quick. You think the Good Brothers are turning face too? Is that where this is going?
I think so too, but I don't want to see that. I kind of want them to stay heel. I don't see a reason for them to go face.
I agree. I like him as heels. It's just Gallows and Anderson are so likable, no matter what they do.
Like, yeah, that's true.
They're very likable. Even when people are crapping on him, like last week Moxley had that line, like, I'm coming after y'all, not because I spent my money on Talking Shop Mania. Like, people popped for that because people liked the show.
Even Randy Orton crapped on it and it promoted it at the same time. So it's like, you know, they're good people. They're great. They're great minds and everything. And they made Impact a little bit better than it was. It was not to say Impact hasn't been good. It's just that they've gotten bigger now and they're starting to make more noise. So I'm interested to see where this is going, because if they do turn face, who are they going to turn heel in Impact? Unless Finjuice is the heel team coming in.
Man, you're the thing. So last week I was crapping on Finjuice and I watched some more of their stuff. I saw him on Impact this week too in their pre-recorded promo, and I'm really starting to like Finjuice. So I don't know. Like, I think what they're building is it's going to be Finjuice feuding with Eric Young's group is what I think it's going to go to. And, yeah, like, if you do turn the Good Brothers face, then you can kind of build to that thing where you're like, dude, Don Callis, I'm losing all my friends because of you.
Ace Austin versus Darby Allin.
Oh, my God.
I can see that, but here's the thing, Angel. Here's the thing. This whole AEW Impact thing only has to do with Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers.
Yeah, it's not an actual invasion storyline. Right?
Yeah, Private Party was involved for a month.
Yeah, but that was against the Good Brothers.
Yeah,
for a match against the Good Brothers. So, like, if say for example, if they're gonna do a working relationship, bring Deonna to AEW. Bring Jordynne Grace
you're going to make your women's division look so much more weak, and it's going to propel so many more women in front of your women.
Yeah, but it also, if think about what Thunder Rosa has done from and Serena Deeb did for the division the short time they've been there. They've improved the division.
I completely agree, but here's the thing. So you're going to have people, you're going to have a new group. As much as Deanna's over, you're going to have a new group of eyes on Deanna. You're going to have a new group of eyes on ODB, on Jordynne Grace. And everyone's going to be like, yo, these three women on Impact just jumped into my top three when AEW's women, like only Britt Baker's the only one I care about. So I think you're in the corner.
You book yourself into a corner with these kind of situations. Thus, when people talk about why WWE doesn't do that, doesn't do inter-promotional work, that it's a double-edged sword when you deal with stuff like that. So that's why, like, the only time you see him do stuff like that is when they do, when they only allow NXT to do it, because before WWE bought Evolve, that's the only side hustle that these NXT guys got to do. So, but
there is nobody to do invasion storylines with. So, like, I think that's a little bit of a cop-out answer, because it's not like, who are they going to do an invasion angle with? Like, it's not like they're going to call up, because, like, WWE is different. AEW and Impact live in the same world. They're both catering to a smaller niche wrestling audience comparatively to what WWE's main product is actually doing. So, like, they can't call up Impact and be like, hey, you guys want to do a storyline where, like, we feature your guys and, like, we come onto your show and you can advertise us as being there? That can't happen. But it can happen with AEW, which it is. But it's not a real invasion storyline, obviously, which I completely agree with. And I don't know if they, here's the thing, is because I only watch AEW, right? I only watch AEW. I do not watch Impact. So, like, it has not affected me in any way. I tried to watch Impact the first 2 weeks that it was kind of going on, and I decided that I just didn't care enough. And they're not carrying enough of the storyline over that I can't get the picture of it without just watching AEW. So, like, I don't think they've written themselves in a corner. I think that the people that care about both are watching both. I think the people that care about one is watching one. And unless a title is exchanged, which I don't think it is, I think it's going to be double KO, double count out, double whatever. Somebody, they're both going to keep their own titles, and then it's over. And it doesn't have to be like DC and Marvel in the 90s had it Marvel versus DC that was official, and they just wrote it to the point where everyone had a one win, one loss. And, like, that's all you have to do is when it ends, it just ends. Like, it doesn't have to be a grand finale.
Since we're talking comic books, it's kind of like the Good Brothers are the Ninja Turtles when the Ninja Turtles, like, debuted in DC for one episode. I'm scared.
What's
going on? No. That's all I'm saying. Like, the Good Brothers are the Ninja Turtles to where they'll come to DC for, like, a week or two and then go away, and everyone's gonna be like, oh, the Ninja Turtles are doing their own thing. You know, it's the same thing.
Same thing. Elias Sabins.
Anyways, back to the show. Thank you, Angel.
Back to the show. That's good.
Angel.
What did Angel say?
Ninja Turtles.
What do we think about Ty Conti versus Nyla Rose?
Okay,
I know that's your girl.
You want to go first? You go first. Okay, you do it, because I talk a lot.
Dude, I love Ty Conti, dude. I've been a fan since NXT. Man, I love everything about this girl. I think she has a look. I think she's a real badass. She's a black belt in judo. You know, like, she's a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She has a lot that they can package around her. This match, however, like you said, Matt, like, all Nyla Rose matches are the same. She goes 100, and then the gas tank runs out. And I honestly think the match should have ended when she dropped that knee on Ty Conti. Because I don't know why Ty Conti kicked that, especially when you compare frames. And then Ty Conti tossing, arm sweeping her around. I thought that would have needed in the match. Like, because you know Nyla's the one jumping over her.
Yeah, so because are they never going to wrestle ever again? Ever? Never, ever, ever again?
So I said AEW doesn't repeat matches unless it's leading to a feud. And that's where it seems like this is gonna go. I think if they are giving Britt Baker the title, I think Tay Conti's the first face that loses.
I don't know. What about Bunny?
Bunny's getting a little bit of a push.
I like them coming out and saying, like, that tournament was bullshit, and you know why it was bullshit? Because she didn't compete. I was like, that's a good way to get someone through that front door. That's a good gimmick door. I like it.
But here's the thing. Allie is an accomplished champion. So,
don't do it. Because if we agree with Matt here, then we agree with the whole Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon storyline. So we can't do this.
Wait, what about what's wrong with Shane McMahon
and Braun Strowman? The whole Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon thing started because Braun Strowman wasn't in the Elimination Chamber, which had former world champions. But Braun Strowman was like, I'm a world champion. Why am I not in it? So it makes sense.
No, but
yeah, but it makes sense. What are you talking about?
It makes sense. It makes sense. But this here's the thing sense. About it. The way that the Braun Strowman Shane McMahon match is coming, it built from that and it went totally left. So I like
that they had Elias take over that match so that they could save the Braun Strowman Shane McMahon for Mania. That was a smart way of doing it.
We got it on Monday 2 weeks ago. If you watch Raw,
wait, what?
Yeah, that match already happened.
It didn't happen. It was they didn't ring the bell.
It was on Raw 2 weeks ago. The bell right, rang, yes.
No, it didn't because...
No, they didn't ring the bell.
They didn't ring the bell. That's why he like covered the green snot and everything. You can't tell me what I know.
That match never started. It just it was just Shane McMahon beating him up with everything he could find and then doing a flying elbow match? Off
who,
the top.
Who won the match, Moyes?
Well, I thought Shane won by count out. That's why I said I thought the match started.
Oh, no, God. The match never started. but here's the thing. You have this is what AEW is getting right now. They're starting to book their women's division to the people that they have. They're with the addition of Allie, with the addition of Ty, with the addition
Stop calling her well, Allie,
the bunny.
Yes, that is literally her name in this company. If there is anybody watching, if there, and I know that we got what, five people watching, whatever, but if there is somebody watching who is an AEW fan who does not know her and only knows that her name is Bunny, and you keep saying Allie, they're going to be like, who the fuck is this Allie? It's Bunny.
Actually, here you go. The comment says, very different. Yeah, right. Allie wasn't champion in the company, LOL.
Who's Allie?
Le Bunny Allie.
The Bunny.
Allie. But anyways, I'm not really excited for this tag team with Sheeta and Ty versus...
Are we ever excited for the women tag teams in AEW?
Are we excited for any tag team matches that don't involve the titles in AEW?
Are we? Because no. they overdo them. They do 6-man, 8-man, 10-man, company versus company.
And here's a disclaimer. Matt and Moyes are more AEW biased.
Moyes is the most in the middle person I know, and I can say that 110%.
They're more biased towards AEW than I am.
No, you are just way more biased towards WWE. You can't be the one that says that. No.
Tony Khan is my point.
Chris, you're in the chat right now. Tony Khan, we are
the same nationality. I have to support the dude.
Chris, you're in... Oh, Chris White, what's up? I was not talking to you, Chris White. I was talking to Chris Diligagilo. You need to say right now... where Moyes falls, and where Elias falls. Okay, you tell us.
Angel just said it.
You're just Angel way just more WWE it. Biased, Elias. Yeah, he is. Look at the name of our show, Weekly Wrestling Heat with Weekly Wrestling Elias. WWE.
Walk with Elias.
We didn't talk about, do we want to talk about the Pinnacle a little bit more? Like the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle?
I think it's too early to say
anything else on it because obviously they have not interacted again and they just had a match that they won and that's it. Like, good promo.
I'm really interested in this storyline on what's going to happen when the Inner Circle comes back. But I'm impressed of how they got formed and what they've been doing, especially with the promos. So it's a good thing.
Moyes is AEW biased. Matt is AEW. Elias is WWE. You guys are weirdos, though. I would not in a million years say Moyes is AEW biased. I am shocked by that.
I am the biggest Karrion Kross mark. Yeah, like...
It's because Chris really likes Blackheart and you shit on her so much, so he's like, must be an AEW guy.
The Blackheart is Tommaso Ciampa. It's not.
Oh Chucky. My gosh! Did you not know who I was saying?
Angel, we're not really going segment by segment.
New style, just, new style. We're just kind of talking as we talk.
Yeah. Final so, thoughts. Angel, you bought the order, your angel, and we kind of just got rid of it.
Final thoughts about AEW NXT this week. And AEW had better promos this week. NXT had a better show this week, but neither show was good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. Bueno? I think that
he ain't shit. He lost the title before a first defense. LOP.
He got injured.
Drop the mic.
Chris, where are y'all seeing these comments?
Bringing the heat. Chris, bringing the heat.
It's on the side.
It's on the side, literally where it says comments.
Hey, he lost the title before the first defense, but he's still going home to Scarlett every night. So he wins.
She scares me.
She doesn't. I love her.
Dude, Matt, you know what you need to watch, Matt? You need to watch the Scarlett and Disco Inferno match from Impact.
Yeah, you need to watch it.
Yeah, you'll laugh. I don't need Disco Inferno in my life. I don't need Disco.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, before we go, let's talk about NXT TakeOver, Stand and Deliver. Night one card, Io Shirai and Raquel main eventing for the NXT women's title. You got Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT UK title. You have MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans versus Legado del Fantasma for the NXT tag team titles. And then you have the number one contender Gauntlet Eliminator for the number one contendership for the North American Championship. And then on night two...
Pause. Chris just commented, Cross won't be a champ unless Vince says so. No one will be a champion unless Vince McMahon says so.
Yeah, that was a weird flex. That was a weird flex. Not gonna lie. It's like, did you guys know wrestling? Did you guys know wrestling? Like they write it.
It's the same thing nobody's gonna be champion in AEW unless Tony Khan said so.
I don't know about that. I think it's Kenny. Kenny's saying it.
That's only the women's division, bro. But
NXT TakeOver Night 2. Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross for the NXT title. Escobar versus Jordan Devlin in a NXT Cruiserweight title unification match in a ladder match. And then you have Johnny Gargano versus the winner of the Night 1 Gauntlet Eliminator tournament guy winner, whatever.
Sounds like a good takeover. That's going to be an 8, and we're going to love it. And we're going to come on here, and we're going to be like, oh, such a good show. And then, in 6 months from now, we're going to be like, remember that show? It was like, okay, it was like an NXT takeover show.
It's two nights.
Now,
WrestleMania's not this week. It's next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Third and fourth?
No, actually, it's the 2 weeks.
Ninth and tenth.
Ninth and tenth? 2 weeks.
They're going to do...
Yeah,
they're gonna
the 10th and 11th.
Oh, 10th and 11th. That makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah. So, and also they're going to add the Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly unsanctioned match. Either on night one or night two, so we don't know where that one's going to land yet.
Definitely night two.
So I would expect it to be on night two.
Definitely. Probably going to close the show out.
Well, here's the thing. Night one is the one competing with NXT. Night two's on Peacock.
With AEW, you mean?
We're competing with AEW, sorry. Night two's on Peacock.
Yeah, that's a bigger reason to get Peacock. What's more important? What's more important, getting Peacock or beating AEW?
You beat AEW and you moved to Tuesdays. We got the last win. The war's over.
all of a sudden, Elias is gonna be like, "Man, that was a hard-fought war, but we kicked their ass." Like Adam, like this whole thing is like, it wasn't a war. There wasn't a war that happened. And then they win one night, and he's like, "We destroyed those fuckers."
I mean, ratings don't really matter anymore. It's...
Until they win. Until they win.
No, even after a while, because I kept up with that, and it just got to the point where it's like...
They were losing so much, why bother looking, right?
No, it wasn't even that, because when you think about it, if you watch the shows, like, each show delivers, it's just that people just decide what they want to watch, so it's like, people are enjoying... None of them has hit a million, so it really doesn't matter.
Elias, you just said it's like people watch what they want to watch. That's like saying Vince decides who's champion.
Look, it's like, cool.
My question to you, that was interesting. My question to you, that means we literally have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night wrestling.
Well, I don't know, because they haven't They haven't really made the NXT move official to Tuesdays. They haven't even announced it. So,
yeah, they have. I thought they did.
Nope. It was all speculation.
Oh my God, Elias! Don't. I swear to God, if they win this week and then they stay on Wednesday, you are going to be the person that literally says,
"Shout out, Mike."
No, you can't. We already talked about this. Did you not watch the show last night? You're not invited. You don't watch.
Nobody. You were on the show. No. Time out. You were on the show last night. I saw you come in.
I did comment. There wasn't. There
got wasn't him, Mike. You got him. Boys. I don't know if that counts for much. Okay, we can. I gotta put kids to sleep and stuff.
Right, what was the last question you wanted to ask? We have 8 minutes.
My last question is: what's more important, getting people to sign up for Peacock or beating NXT? What is more important?
Beating AEW.
No, I think right now it's getting the Peacock subscribers.
It has to be getting Peacock subscribers.
If you beat AEW and move to Tuesdays, you know WWE is going to spin that in Who Won the War, guys. You know they are.
I know they are. But what's more important, Moyes?
No, it's definitely the Peacock. But you got WrestleMania. People are going to sign up for that regardless.
But they need an early buy rate. You know how this stuff works. If you're a promoter, are you waiting for the week before to get your event sold out?
They had Fastlane.
Which was on the WWE Network. I watched it on there.
Yeah, it was on both, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Nobody going to Peacock for Fastlane. Nobody was like, yeah, it's worth it.
I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna turn the WWE Network.
I'm gonna wait. Nobody's so, like, Fastlane? Right. Oh, gotta get that Peacock.
All right,
how are we next week?
So we'll talk about that
offline, because I gotta get my kids to sleep.
All right, so thank you for joining us for another episode of Weekly Wrestling Heat. We'll be back next week with another fun-filled episode covering all the wrestling that's been happening. From myself, Matt, and Moyes, we are out. Peace.
Goodbye.
Adios.